Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
How fun. We get a sort of a unique Kingdom Pursuits today. As the first half of the show, we've got Larry George, a dear, dear friend, and you might remember him as the host of A Place Missionaries Call Home with Sloan Missionary Homes. And so we're going to be talking about some new stuff that's going on at Sloan Missionary Homes. If you hadn't heard about them before, Larry, tell them what in the world is Sloan Missionary Homes?
Well, Sloan Missionary Homes is a ministry that provides housing for missionaries. We now have 44 acres with 14 houses. We're just finishing house number 15, and we just continue to move ahead. But it's a place where missionaries come to be able to rest, to be able to get their thoughts back together, to be spiritually renewed, and then go back.
And surprisingly, it's right here in beautiful Snow Camp, North Carolina. A lot of people don't know where Snow Camp is. But tell them, Larry.
We are south of Burlington. You take exit 147 and go all the way down to the bottom and say, where's Snow Camp? And you're there.
I've never seen any snow in Snow Camp. Well, I think I did one time.
Yeah, we've had it.
But they have not only Sloan Missionary Homes, they have Camp Glory Farm. They have yurts. If you didn't know what a yurt is, you're going to be so glad that you tuned in today, because yurts are something, aren't they, Larry?
Oh, yeah, they really are.
And then English is a second language school. You've got that going on down there as well. So we're going to be getting into all that at the bottom of the hour. We got John Somerville calling in. As you may know, Transworld Radio's project in Central Asia is really heating up. They are building a 200,000-watt transmitter that's going to reach 60 million people in Central Asia. And so if you put that into perspective, at night, if you're listening on an AM radio and you can hear Chicago or St. Louis or maybe New York, those are 50,000-watt transmitters.
Wow.
And so here you've got a 200,000-watt transmitter, and it's not competing for a lot of different radio waves there in Central Asia. It's going to go into 10 different countries, reach 60 million people, and they're hoping to get that done. We're going to be talking about that at the bottom of the hour, but you know that it's Kingdom Pursuits. And so speaking of homes, you're going to love this, Larry. Some Missouri home designers, that's not missionary home designers, but Missouri home designers, they're known as Ozarkitects. You get it? Ozarkitects? Yeah. Okay. And I've heard rumors, have you heard these rumors, about vats of acid I keep at my home? Those are all lies. They're all lies, Larry. L-Y-E-S. Yeah, that's where you get the boom boom. Johnny didn't even smile at that one. It was they're all lies. How about this one? A home for rich squirrels? We're talking about homes now. Mm-hmm. I bet you know that's the Nutcracker Suite. And I wanted to bring a penguin home, but my parents just told me they wasn't going to fly. It's just not going to happen. So, with all that said, you knew I would actually get to a riddle, and my riddle today is, who were the original architects in the Bible? The first one could really float your boat, and the second was known for having been withdrawn from the bank of the Nile as a little prophet. Who were the original architects in the Bible? The first one could really float your boat, and the second one was known for having been withdrawn from the bank of the Nile. If you know that, Johnny, tell them what they'll win.
A Truth Network prize pack.
Yes, Truth Network. It's been a while since Johnny's had a chance to do that. So Johnny was my producer for years and years, but now he's gone on to bigger, better things. We have him back today. But all you have to do is call in at 866-348-7884. We do have a Truth prize pack for you, which will include a wonderful book from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault. 866-348-7884 is the number to call in. Who were the original architects? The Bible. The first one could really float your boat, and the second one was known for having been withdrawn from the bank of the Nile as a little prophet. I've never had the music go on this long. It's just wonderful. It makes me feel really happy, Johnny. I like that. So, Larry, this idea of English as a second language, you know, when you go to Siloam Missionary Homes, a lot of times the missionaries themselves are not American.
Right.
Or well, I don't mean that. I don't know how I mean that.
They're not from America. They're a national.
Right.
And what we're seeing, Robbie, is really the world, I mean, the way the church is set up in America really has done what they were supposed to do. Back in the 1800s and clear up until World War I and World War II, we sent missionaries around the world to start churches. And in starting churches, the idea was that they would start sending their own people. And this is now happening. So really, the majority or over half of the people that come to Siloam Missionary Homes are not Americans. They could be from Israel. They could be, which means that is their natural country, or Brazil. Brazil now is the second largest sending agency in the world, country in the world, on sending missionaries.
Really?
Behind the U.S., yes, per capita.
Which has to make your wife feel wonderful. Those who know Joyce is actually Brazilian.
Yes, yes, she is.
And she speaks Portuguese.
That's right.
Which, you know, I learned because I was a completely ignorant person coming into this job, mm-hmm. that people in Brazil don't speak Spanish. They speak Portuguese.
That's right.
And her mother was just a delightful missionary there. Those stories that she used to tell were a riot and a half of coming out of Brazil. But then now that's gone full circle to where really some of the people that your mother-in-law helped, you know, bring into church are now out there being missionaries
that's
to other
right.
countries.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And so you get a chance to work with that in Camp Glory Farm. Explain mm-hmm. what that is.
Well, Camp Glory Farms was set up originally, and it still is, that we take missionary kids and help them to be able to be integrated back into American life. If you're raised in another culture and you come here to the United States after living overseas, I don't care if you're an American, to be able to adjust to our culture is very, very difficult for a missionary kid. One out of five kids will attempt suicide. I've had two missionary kids in the last 26 years succeed in committing suicide. And through that, through their adjustment, we decided we would start a camp, Glory Farms. It's a farm next door to the mission where we teach kids through loving animals, working with them, how to adjust to American culture so that they can stay here in the States.
Wow. And if you've ever been, which one of the neatest things you can do really is go visit Siloam Missionary Homes there in Snow Camp. If you're in North Carolina, you want a fun time with your family, go check out Camp Glory Farm because they have all the animals there that, you know, and then they then see the missionaries, which all want to interact with you when you come.
Oh, sure. And we have RV camping there. You can come there and RV camp if you want to. You can stay in yurts. We just got a variety of things you can
do. Yeah, but people don't know what a yurt is
because they
That's right, Larry. The whole world does not know yet about yurts, but I know about yurts because I've been to Siloam Missionary Home.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we have three of them, and they're really a Mongolian tent. They last 20 years. They're 24 feet in diameter. We have them that are two stories. They have a built-in kitchen, a bathroom, bedroom downstairs, a loft upstairs, direct TV inside. Wireless internet, you've got it all. Or if you want to really camp, you can stay in one, just has just air conditioning and heat and have a bunk, stay in a bunk.
So what's really cool is that a lot of churches send kids during the summer, mm-hmm. and they get to stay in the yurts, right?
Yes, they do. And we also offer an intern program. I think if there's one thing that's happening in America today is high school kids in general don't know what they want to do with their life. And so we will take them for 1 year. It doesn't cost them anything to come there. And we will let them work on the farm. We work with them every day on projects and different things. And if they make a decision they want to go on with missions, we'll help them.
So that young man, you know, I love to do seders. And so I get my sheep, mm-hmm. you know, fresh from Camp Glory Farm. Mm-hmm. And one of that young man that was helping me that time, was he one of your interns?
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Wow. And he got along with those sheep and all that. Well, when we come back, we're going to have more with Larry George a little bit later, John Somerville from Transworld Radio and their Asian transmitter. But right now, I am shocked, literally shocked, that no one has called in on what I would have thought was my easiest riddle ever. Who were the original architects in the Bible? The first could really float your boat, and the second was known from having been withdrawn from the bank of the Nile as a little prophet. 866-348. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we are starting off with Larry George with Siloam Missionary Homes right there in beautiful downtown Snow Camp, North Carolina. We got a lot to talk about with Larry. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have John Somerville with Transworld Radio's project in Central Asia to build a 200,000-watt transmitter. We're excited to hear about that. But right this very moment, I am very, very excited because Paula in Greensboro has got an answer for my riddle. But Paula, I want to limit you to one because I don't, you know, somebody else may want to win the other one. So there are actually two of these architects in the Bible. Have you got one for us?
So, hello?
Yes, Paula.
Hi. Yeah, hi. Am I supposed to answer both of them or one of them?
Just one would be wonderful because I want to save the other one for the other person calling in.
Okay. Well, Noah?
Yeah, I know a guy.
I know a guy. Yeah, I know a guy too.
He was an architect. Well, actually, God was the architect, sort of, but he definitely built it.
And well, yes, obviously God was in all of these.
Oh, so. Yes, and you know, did you see the movie Evan Almighty?
I have not.
Oh, it is. A wonderful picture of a modern-day Noah who builds this ark in Washington, D.C. It's really a hilarious movie. But there's, you know, God is calling Steve, what's his name, Jarrell or whatever, to build this ark. And he shows up in his yard with all this wood. And it's a picture of a gopher on it. It says gopher wood. G-O-P.
Oh, no.
You could imagine Robbie Dillmore sitting there as he sees this sign that says gopher.
Well, I'm going to have to maybe watch the movie tonight.
It is an absolute classic, and it definitely has a wonderful message to it. Don't you agree, Larry?
It was a
family-friendly movie that is just wonderful. Came out in the lines of Bruce Almighty, but then this one is Evan Almighty. So
okay, I'm putting it on my list.
Thank you, Paula. God bless.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You're a winner. Thank you. All right, we have Margaret is in Raleigh, North Carolina. Margaret, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning. Margaret, can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know the name of the other architect in the Bible?
One was Noah and one was Moses.
You are absolutely correct. He was the he was the one who was dipped out of the Nile as a little prophet, right? Yes.
Right.
That would be Moses. He was an architect. He built the one in the tabernacle. So when you think of that ark, Margaret, what do you think of?
I think of salvation.
Salvation. You know what's really cool? And I don't know if I've ever told you this, Larry, but I one time really worked on, in my mind, what was inside that ark. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, there were three things that were, right, the manna that was in the jar, mm-hmm. and they had Aaron's staff that budded, and then there was the law, the two tablets that had been redone from the original, you know, Ten Commandments that Moses had made. So when I was reading originally in Jeremiah, they talk about this staff that budded was an almond branch, and that an almond tree is the first fruit that buds in Israel.
Oh, wow.
And that when Jeremiah saw that almond branch, what he was seeing actually is Christ. He was the first fruit.
Wow.
And so that almond branch in the ark is a picture of Christ. Hmm. Now, if you picture that the ark was in the Holy of Holies, right? Mm-hmm. And now it was in the tabernacle, or the temple. Well, now our body, right, Margaret, is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, then what would the Holy of Holies be? That would be your heart. And inside mm-hmm. your heart is the rod that budded, mm-hmm. right? And he's going to write his law on our hearts. So that's the Ten Commandments. And then as you go to his word every day, you get the manna. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool that the ark was a picture of really, in my mind, the reason why we can't find the lost Ark of the Covenant, because it's in you and it's in me. Are you buying all that, Margaret?
I'm good. I'm taking it in. All right. That's good.
That was a good answer.
That was a great answer. Thank you, Margaret. God bless. You have a great day, and you're a winner, by all means. All right, Larry. Well, we got a big event coming up, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do.
We have Vision Breakfast. It's coming up Tuesday morning in beautiful downtown Graham, which is not as hard to get to as Snow Camp because Graham's right on the same exit,
147. You're just going to go north.
Right. And tell us about what's going on at this Vision Breakfast.
Well, we have a gentleman there, Mario, that is a missionary from Brazil, and he's sharing his vision about involving people here in America of helping the persecuted Christian. Now, we know we do help the persecuted church. We are all a part of the church of Jesus Christ, but the persecuted Christian in ways that we can go ahead and help them through microfinancing, through other avenues of being able to get to help them get back to where they need to be.
And the cool thing is there's breakfast involved.
Yeah, that's right, and there's no charge for it, and it's going to be a great time. I really believe it.
So Sammy's going to speak himself, and he grew up Muslim in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I did not know that. I knew he was from Brazil, but I didn't know he... I'm confused. Straighten me out. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is a great day today. What he was telling us is Sammy grew up as a Muslim in Yemen, but as an adult, he was introduced to Christ and became a Christian. He and his own family members started persecuting him severely, and he had to leave the country. He now lives in Brazil as a refugee and serves on our staff at More International, which is a part of this group that will be speaking on Tuesday. The very same organization that helped him resettle, his desire is to serve those who've been persecuted by their faith as he was. So the purpose is that we're trying to help the persecuted Christian, and this was an example of one of them, and he's now helping.
I get it. So Sammy is not the person speaking, but he's the person that story is about that really helped inspired.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy that's speaking, you know, you and I talked briefly before the show began. We all go through times in our lives, turbulent times, and Robbie, I've known you for years, and I know some of the tough things that you've went through. And folks, it wasn't unusual for me to get a phone call from his wife and said, well, he fell out of a tree. He's still alive. If you'd like to come and see him, he had a Jeep hit him. You know, just different things like that in our life. But I have never went through the valley myself. I help missionaries and I try to encourage them, but a couple years ago when I went into a valley, I just felt like there was no way that I could get out. And it was through this man that came to see me as a missionary from Brazil.
Are you comfortable about talking about that valley?
Do what?
Are you comfortable about talking about that valley?
Yeah.
You are. Because I think it's really encouraging to me. Mm-hmm. That here was a family that I've known for years and years supporting missionaries, doing everything in the world they could do to try to help missionaries get, you know, re-engaged in their thing, you know, help them to raise support, do all this stuff. But Satan had a little plan for you there. Mm-hmm. He sent in some sexual predators, for lack of a better word. And, you know, share what happened, Larry.
Well, what had happened was I had a man that came to my church, and he'd been in prison for 9 years. For being a sex offender. Now, I don't know a lot about sex offenders. I've never looked it up, but I just really felt that I needed to try to disciple and encourage this guy, and I did. And he tried to, I got him a job. He worked really hard. He came out and started to work for me on a part-time basis. But because he was a sex offender, that never goes away. And I had a family that came there to live that really felt that he had overstepped his bounds. And it has taken us 2 years. We've been in and out of court dealing with this issue. And he didn't do anything, but it was just the black eye that it puts in a person's...
Right. Well, there's a law that I didn't know about until recently, and you didn't know that if you're a sex offender, you're not allowed to be within so many yards of young people and whatever. And so he was in violation of what he should have known.
That's right. But
you didn't know it because you're just trying to help a guy.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But I think that sometimes that is how the devil uses things to try to destroy people that are serving the Lord. And I think that when you go through an experience like that, you just think, here I am trying to help somebody, and why am I being accused of something or being involved in something that just looked like it was just completely destroying my life?
But then this man came from More International. How did he encourage you in that?
Well, he came in to see me one day, and he told me that he went to China in the underground church and was trying to find the underground church and couldn't find it. And so he was sitting in my office. He told me, he said, Larry, he said, I was there for 2 years, and he said, I was getting ready to leave. And one Saturday morning, I walk along, and I see the shop that has these little wire characters. And in the corner was a sign of the fish, which is the sign of the Christian. And he said, while I was looking at that, he said, the store owner came out and looked at him, and he said, are you a part of the fish? And he said, yes, I am. He said, come back tomorrow, and I'm going to take you to the people of the fish. So he said that he went home that night, and he came back the next morning, and he said, the man told him, get in my car, and I'm going to take you and show you the people of the fish. He said, I thought they're going to take me out and kill me. I didn't know them. I could hardly understand their language. He said, we drove about 40 minutes. They took me on a side road. They said, get out. Covered their car with brush. And Robbie said, we walked for a while. He said, probably a half hour through the jungle. And we found this old abandoned warehouse. Great big huge thing. Like you'd see in a horror movie. Alcatraz, you know?
Right.
And he said, I thought, now I know. They're going to rob me and kill me here and leave me. We went into that building. There was over 200 believers. And they're singing and praising God. No lights, no nothing, but they were all got there the same way that he did. To make a long story short, there was two families in the front of the church. One was a couple that had two adult kids, and the other was a family holding a baby. He said, I looked at the couple, and I said, why is this couple crying? And they said, because they had the Word of God in their house for 1 week, and now they have to give it up. Because there was only two Bibles for 200 families.
Wow, we have a lot more of this kind of stuff coming up with Transworld Radio and John Somerville in the next segment, as well as more from Larry George and Siloam Missionary Homes. How fun is this? Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And as promised, we have a special treat for you on today. At the bottom of the hour, which it is, we have John Somerville with Transworld Radio's project in Central Asia to build a 200,000-watt transmitter reaching 60 million people. And John, this is an exciting time, really, in the church.
It really is, Robbie. You know, missionary radio can go where oftentimes missionaries simply cannot. And we have this opportunity to bring the gospel of Jesus right to the heart of Central Asia. And this powerful transmitter, 200,000 watts, will have the ability to reach across 10 different country borders. That's why I'm excited about it, because the gospel is going to be preached to places where perhaps it's never even been before. And that's what's exciting.
Yeah, as Stu Epperson brings out in the discussion he had yesterday on Steve Noble's show, which I think is so relevant, is that you listening right now, wherever you are, you know what it's like to turn on Christian radio and be able to hear the good news, be encouraged, you know, like hear Larry's story just a few minutes ago on how he was encouraged in the middle of something. You can imagine what it would be like for these 60 million people that right now don't have any access to that kind of thing, but most of them have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Wow. And here we have an opportunity, really, to give them what it is that we enjoy for as little, as John puts it, it's a penny a person. He has 60 million people. This transmitter is going to cost $597,000. Am I right, John?
$593,000. You're right on target. For a penny a person, people can hear the gospel for a penny a person. When you're thinking economically speaking, can you get any more ROI on your investment than that right there?
Right, we'll be in heaven, but we want to give you this number. They've got operators available right now for a gift. Maybe you got $50, $100, $200, or maybe you really feel like, wow, I want to take part in what's going on, because as Larry will explain, you can reach people that, you know, the persecuted church can't reach through radio. The number is 800-880-4-TWR. So 800-880, the number 4, and then TWR, which is Transworld Radio. You can call that right now. There's operators standing by. And Larry, you know about this. You were in China the other day, and they wouldn't even let you have a Bible.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I think, John, a misconception that people, if they're listening to radio today, don't understand. China is cracking down once again on the Christians. And
yeah, it's tough to see. You're exactly right, Larry.
And I was in China in the end of April, and one of the things, I just had my Bible on the street, sitting in a corner by myself with a guy, and not trying to create any kind of activity early in the morning, and we had the police come up and tell us, you got to put that away. And, you know, they go ahead and they shut all this off. I think it's unbelievable to be able to have radio so that people can listen to it in their homes and in their cars, because everybody listens to radio and different things. Will this be in how many different languages, do you think?
Well, we'll be probably in about 10 languages to start off with. And we'll be reaching countries like Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, a lot of the Stan countries. We'll also be reaching into southern Russia and into western China. And the part of China that we're reaching into is a very Islamic part of China, out in the very western part. It's very rural. And so this entire area that we're reaching into is highly Islamic. In fact, we would say probably 99 point something percent probably has never even heard the name of Jesus, has no relationship with Jesus. So this truly is missionary radio.
It is, and you can, again, dial right now, 800-880-4-TWR, which is Trans World Radio. That's 800-880-4-TWR. There's operators standing by, you know, for a gift of any amount that God may put on your heart to, well, wow, how fun is it going to be someday? You're in heaven, you know, and here comes this person that was like, man, thanks to your gift, here we are. I got to hear Jesus, or maybe some missionary that desperately needed encouragement that was out there that was able to just tune in and hear something that revitalized their life to be able to go out and share Christ with more people.
Well, I think to be able to hear it in their own language is just so amazing. They can read it and then also be able to have it right there too. What a wonderful thing.
Yeah, well, anybody
that's, that's another great point there, Larry, because, you know, not only is it in their own language, but many of the people who would not have the ability to be able to even read or write, you know, we talk about how are they going to hear the word is through hearing and believing. And radio makes the perfect tool for exactly that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in a foreign country where I'll never forget, like, whoa, I'm not used to all this talk, and I don't understand a thing. So to be able to just tune in to something where you actually hear your own language, and it actually is the word of God, is just and God can touch that and bring people to Himself. It's amazing stuff.
Well, they say where God's word goes, it does not return void. That's Isaiah 55:11. It's going to accomplish the purposes for which it sends it. You know, Larry made another good point about how private radio is. In many of these countries, you cannot share the gospel with people. And radio, again, is the perfect tool, the perfect missionary to go in and share the gospel, because people can listen to radio in the privacy of their own home, whether it's in their car, or maybe it's an earbud. You know, if they've got their earbuds in, they can listen to the good news of Jesus in the privacy and not have to worry about people invading their privacy and allowing the radio to be a friend to them, intimate friend.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, I don't know if you read the book, John, The Insanity of God, but one of the things in there that just really grabbed me was when they went into China and they started talking to the persecuted Christians. One of the things that when the persecuted Christians found out that Americans were praying for them and that people around the world, as brothers and sisters, were praying for them, that encouraged them to persevere. And, you know, in a Muslim family, the wife and the children are left alone a lot because the husband's gone. What an opportunity for a mom to be able to listen to the radio with her children, with dad gone, and in some ways be able to raise those kids up in a Christian environment through radio.
And we have specific programs that are geared specifically to women in exactly that situation, Larry.
That's right.
Wow, and you can be involved in it right now. It's so easy. All you have to do is dial 800-884-TWR, 800-8804-TransWorldRadio. And I was thinking about the underground churches that you know, like that warehouse you were talking about a little while, Larry. They could tune on a broadcast and everybody, you know, have something there that they could join in their language.
That would be a tremendous way. I just think that realizing that you're not alone in ministry or as a Christian, that they are such a minority. and to realize that every day they could get encouraged and more hope and watch it grow, I think is amazing.
So, John, you know, you have all these stories of you know, testimonies of people from there. What's one of your favorites?
Well, I think one of my favorites is from a program called TWR Women of Hope. It is our women's program to Muslim women and teaching them about family and teaching them about how to be a better mom, how to be a better wife. And then the second half of the radio program really hones in on presenting the gospel, tying in what they've learned at the beginning of the program to what the Bible says. And it's just a great program. And one of the funniest, you know, we get great, great testimonies out of this. But I think one of the funniest ones I got was where it says, "You are not women of hope." And of course, you first when you read that, you say, "What?" And she said that, you know, she's from the Islamic faith, and she says, "Yeah, we are not women of hope." She listens to us every week, and she knows that we are not women of hope. But I thought to myself, this is really funny, because here she is tuning in, listening every week. God is softening this woman's heart. He is using the radio program to reach someone who has been hostile to the gospel, and it's going to soften her heart little by little.
Well, and the neat thing about that, when I think about it, is one of the original ways that my wife and I came to Christ was we were struggling with our kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we just a new family, and we were really, you know, trying to figure out how to discipline and all this stuff. And so my wife found out there was this Christian parenting class in Raleigh. And and she talked me into going to church on my one day off, John, because there was this Christian parenting class that I needed to attend. But it's the same kind of thing, because I'm sure that Muslim moms are struggling with the same thing, you know, and here comes the show on how to do life. And it's an opportunity for people to, you know, find the practical use of their faith.
Is this
exactly right? Absolutely.
Hey, John, is the radio program on all day long? I mean, is this on 24 hours a day? Is it Bible teaching? Tell us a little bit about what that's about.
Well, we're talking about, it's a little different radio than what we would normally be accustomed to here in the U.S. One thing is that we use the skywave at night. And so oftentimes most of our programming is going to be on at night when we're trying to reach further away than distance-wise. And during the day, of course, the signal doesn't travel as far because it's not hitting the skywave. The skywave bounces the signal and will bounce it many, many miles away. But during the day, so we'll broadcast during the day towards people who are living closer to the signal. And then, of course, what you have to recognize too, when we're doing multiple languages, you'll have a language block. And so maybe for anywhere from as short as 15 minutes to maybe a few hours will be one language, and then it'll go into another language, and then it'll go into another language and another language. And so each day is a little different than what we would be accustomed to here in the U.S. But it's always going to be teaching the gospel, just like Truth Network, and telling people about the good news.
Oh, we got to give you that number one more time, 800-880-4-TWR. That's 800-880-4, Trans World Radio, TWR, those initials. Dial now. They got operator standing by. I got one more second for you, John. Let them have it.
We would love to encourage you to be it. We want to get this transmitter on the air by the spring. We need you to call right now.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. We just finished up with John Somerville with Trans World Radio, and if you didn't get that number and you're thinking, I need to call that, well, let me give it to you one more time. It's 800-880-4-TWR. And now I'm excited because I have Ken in Colvax who has a question for Larry. So, Ken, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning. That transmitter, will that be reaching Kazakhstan?
It will.
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
We have a team that goes over twice a year from the church. In fact, they're going again in August. I was just curious because, you know, I don't have a geographic mind like Robbie. The other question is directed to the Snow Camp Mission Home.
Right.
I've been on Clark Road. I did a lot of work. Where are you? If you're familiar with Clark Road, where are y'all located from there?
We are 1 mile straight north of Clark Road.
Okay.
Did you work on the transmitter?
Going back towards Burlington.
Yeah, going back towards Burlington.
Okay.
It's called, now he says it's Quakenbush, but I think it's Quackenbush. I think it has to do with ducks.
It has to do with Quakers.
Hey, Robbie. Robbie, I got another architect besides Nolan.
Moses. Really?
It kind of involves Moses, but you know in Exodus 2, it says that Moses' parents took bulrushes and prepared a ark. That's the KJV. I don't know what it says.
Oh, you're exactly right. That was
that he covered it with slime and pitch, just like Noah did the initial ark.
Moses' mom was an architect. See how my listeners just, Larry, what you know.
She was an architectess, or how you would say, as far as.
And what's her name? I'm trying to remember Moses.
Was it Oshabed?
Yeah, there you go.
They were both from the tribe of Levi.
Yeah, there you are.
Which was no accident with God. But
wouldn't you hate to yell her name? Hey, you.
I always took it Aaron was older than Moses. I wonder if he helped build that ark too.
You know, that's
for his little baby brother. But I'm not sure.
Well, he was known for calf building. He somehow or other threw the gold in the fire, and out came this calf. That's one of the funnier stories in the Bible is when Aaron throws the gold in the Bible, and he says, I don't know how it happened, but it just came out this calf.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ken.
Y'all have a good day.
You too.
Every one of you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, I was just thinking when he was talking about that, Robbie, a number of years ago, we do this Catch the Spirit of Christmas, and you and I were freezing to death on this trolley driving around, and you were trying to describe these people. These people live in Brazil. These people live in this place, and we're going around the property. As we go up the hill, they have this sign that says, it's supposed to say Merry Christmas, but you look at it and says, you're trying to read it because it was kind of messed up, and you said, Merry Christmas. I'll never forget that.
It did look like a Merry Christmas.
And we still say that when people come
by. I thought it was in Portuguese or something. And there they have it in their native language.
I know.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is one of the neat things. If you're around the Christmas time, that when is that? This weekend?
It is the very first weekend in December, Friday night and Saturday. We have a lot of people that show up for it every year, and it's really a great opportunity to be able to share with people what the true meaning of Christmas is. And it's not the lights. It's really Christian fellowship and sharing about the birth of Christ.
But they do have the lights, too.
And
then they have the trolley that you get to go around in and listen to Larry on the microphone.
I would
love to be back there. Yeah, and that was true. I really love that. And the neat thing is that you do get to meet all these missionary families who all have just fabulous stories of how God has worked in their unique situation. Tell the people about the campus. You have the Dad's Country Store, all these different things.
Yeah, we have several things there. There's a little prayer chapel, and then there is a place that we give away food to the families, and that's done through people like you that help give to that. Last year, we gave away over $55,000 worth of food. It's a general store. They can just help themselves with it. We have a clothing store. It's 1,200 square feet. You can go in there and get current clothes, slightly used clothes or new clothes that we give them because, you know, missionaries don't all come from our area. So when they come back here to the States, we're trying to help them and do that. Plus, we have 14 houses for missionaries. We've got a game room, an exercise room, a fellowship hall where they can have reunions for their families. You can have camp there. The whole idea is just to saturate you and your family and your church with missions and involve them.
Right. And the original idea behind the radio show that we did for a number of years was a place missionaries can call home because, you know, that's a challenge for all of us is where do we call home? Mm-hmm. And so for a lot of folks, Siloam means home to them.
It really does. And when you see a world that we live in, right now we have a family that just came out of a closed country, I can't even tell you who they are, that just came back almost shell-shocked because they'd been through so much. And for them to stand up and tell Joyce and I just yesterday, because we were with them, how much it meant for them to be able to be together as a family and to get some counseling, to get back into normal American life, and they're going to go back to the field again. So that helps them.
Now, a lot of people that are not familiar with Shalom Missionary Homes immediately think it's Shalom, but it's not Shalom. It's Shalom.
Yeah.
And so you got to tell the people that are listening so that they don't make that mistake and look up S-H.
Yeah.
Because it's S-I.
Yeah, it's S-I-L-O-A-M, homes.org. And it's Shalom, which means a place to heal or a place to be refreshed and renewed. That's the whole purpose.
Right. There's the pool of Shalom.
That's where it comes from.
And if you go to Shalom, you get to see the pool. It's not the same one that's in Israel.
No. No, and it's probably not the same water either. But, you know, I will claim it and bottle you some if you'd like some.
And you might get to eat a cricket while you're there.
That's true. And we give tours on a regular basis and would love to have you come visit us. And, you know, I know that we have real short time. Andrew Brunson, that we've all been praying for around the world, that's the Turkish missionary that is been in prison for 2 years, is now about to be released. I guess he's on home arrest. Had actually lived at Shalom in 2001, him and his family, Noreen, and just continue to pray that they'll be able to come home.
Yeah, and share with our listeners a little bit about him since you got to know him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he is from Black Mountain, North Carolina, and he is a pastor. He's been a pastor for 25 years in Turkey, and he was accused of being part of a coup to overthrow the government, which is not true, and he went to prison for it. And, you know, I think, Robbie, the hardest thing that I've had in understanding about people that are in prison for their faith, we think, how do we pray for them? Because God doesn't tell us to take them out of that situation. He tells them to help them to be able to persevere. And just the last week when he was on radio, because, you know, they had his trial come up, that's what he told them. I'm here because I represent Jesus Christ. And I was thinking, I don't know if I could do that. Being in prison for 2 years, he's lost over 50 pounds and be able to stand up and say, I don't care what happens. I mean, I do care, but by the grace of God, I keep going. So it's the important thing, even in what we all do, is to encourage one another to keep going.
Yeah, because there's prisons are all different shapes and sizes, aren't they, Larry?
That's right. Even the ones that I go inside and visit, I get claustrophobia, and I want to make sure I have a key out, not to have to stay in.
But again, it is a wonderful trip, and that fellowship hall, like, you know, if you need a Christmas party, you guys do those. And if you've seen the fellowship hall at Shalom, it's just absolutely amazing, and I've been to several Christmas parties there. It's a wonderful, wonderful venue to have a Christmas party where people can engage, really, the body of Christ.
Well, another thing that we do in the fall, because as our seasons change, is we have a trolley there, and we give senior citizens a free lunch and a tour. Of course, I do have a little basket that I take up a little bit of offering. But, you know, we are there to serve you, because actually we're just an extension of you.
Right. And that's the beauty of Shalom Missionary Homes. You know, well worth the trip, whether you're in Raleigh today or Charlotte. Mm-hmm. It's kind of centrally located right in the middle of the state.
Yes.
There is probably closer to Raleigh than it is to Winston, but it's not far.
Yeah. We're halfway between Chapel Hill and Greensboro. That gives you an idea, just south of Burlington.
Right.
Love to have them come visit us.
Yeah, I have never gone and not had a blast, because, again, you get to go check out the yurts. If you haven't seen a yurt, the yurts are cool. You got Camp Glory Farm with all the animals. Of course, you know, the missionary families, and there is the store and all the different things that you just, you know, when you come driving up, you see all the flags there on Quackenbush, even though I think it's Quackenbush. I'll always refer to it as Quackenbush. But, you know, you see all the flags and you just feel like, wow, God's really done something.
And we've got singing alpacas. People don't believe this. Just make them mad. You can listen to them sing.
Really? No. I thought they spit.
They do. They're warning you through that hand, that voice. It's coming.
you sound like somebody with experience.
Yes, I have. I've stood there and I got slapped in the face with it before.
How many alpacas you got?
We're down to two. And we had to sell a couple because they wouldn't leave me alone. I had one that just come up and chase me all the time, and they spit on you.
Well, you are Scary Larry, so you know that.
And we were always warned that if an alpaca, the best thing that you do is if they spit on you, you spit back. Well, you know, you put back and forth. After a few times, they win. So then you walk away, but, you know, it works.
Really?
Yeah, it's true.
You spit back.
Yes. When they spit on you, you spit back at them, because they're just as insulted as you are.
Oh, the things I learned by being a talk show host. I had no idea you were supposed to spit back at an alpaca.
Yeah, it will.
Now I know. So, wow. Siloam Missionary Homes, down south, exit
147.
147. It's Highway 87.
Yeah, 87 South. Come see us.
It is an absolute blast. Again, this Tuesday, we got the event there in Graham, right, which is we're going to hear from him. So you can find out about all that at kingofursuits.com as well as Transworld Radio's. That number one more time for Transworld Radio, 800-880-4TWR. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you. Fun. Enjoyed it. Appreciate it.